Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. In verse 1, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. This is talking about the way that people come across, the way that people are, what they are communicating, and so on. Don't believe everything everybody says. There is a spirit to pretty much everything about us. And we want to make sure that it's the right spirit. Now, I can't look at somebody and judge them. But there are certain things that we can evaluate that we can identify, and that we can identify accurately that God allows us to do so. I don't look at somebody and say, oh, you're like this. Can't do that. But I can say, what you're revealing is this. And that I can say. That I have the ability to do it, and God allows that. In Luke 9:53, when Jesus went to Samaria with his disciples, there was a village that they came into, and they did not receive him in that village. He asked the disciples to go and prepare the people in the village, kind of let them know he's coming, that kind of a thing. And nobody wanted him there. And they rejected him. So it says there in verse 53 of Luke 9, they did not receive him because his face was set as though he was going to go to Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus, if you're coming, you have to stay a while. But you're only passing through, so we're not all that interested. We'll get to you on the weekend, was the kind of an attitude that they had. But Jesus was not really received there. Think about it. God is on earth as a person. He's going to be here for 3.5 years. He's got all these people to minister to, and he comes to your village, and, okay, whatever. He wasn't well received. And so he didn't bother staying in a place like that. He tells you, don't bother staying in a place like that where they won't receive you. Just move on. But his disciples got very upset about it. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will you that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elijah did? You want us to do what Elijah did? Ooh, that was impressive. The prophets of Baal rejected you. These guys rejected you. You want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them, to destroy them? The disciples were a little bit, not there yet. And Jesus said to them, because he did rebuke them, he said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. His disciples wanted to show, okay, fine, you're dealing with the all-powerful God here. We're going to let you have it. And Jesus said, no, that's not what I'm about. That's not my purpose. That's not how I do things. You ever wonder why things are allowed to happen in the world the way they happen? And you kind of wish, God, can you just get them? Can you just let them have it? And Jesus says, I didn't come to destroy people's lives. I came to save their lives. He didn't come so people would go to hell. He came so that people would go to heaven. He didn't come to condemn people. He came to release them. This was the wrong spirit that his disciples had. And it was indeed a spirit. Jesus identified it, that it's a spirit. Sometimes we have whispers in our ears. That's not sin. But the enemy will send a demon to whisper at times. Now, don't think everything is a demon. It's not. But sometimes it is. It can be. And you want to learn how to identify that. So you want to know what sort of a spirit that's of. These disciples did not know that they were being very self-righteous. Well, self-righteousness is not a good thing in the eyes of God. Self-righteousness, God absolutely hates it. And so these disciples were being self-righteous. They wanted to do somebody harm because of it, because they didn't come out, run to receive Jesus. And Jesus said, no, leave them alone. I didn't come to hurt these people. I came to save these people. But the devil, of course, would love to hurt these people. And so they didn't know the spirit they were of. In Luke 6:43, this is one of the ways that you can recognize what things are really about. There is no good or healthy tree that bears decayed, worthless, stale fruit. Nor, on the other hand, does a decayed, worthless, sickly tree bear good fruit. Nor, on the other hand, does a decayed, worthless, sickly tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known and identified by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from a thorn bush, nor is a cluster of grapes picked from a bramble bush. A bramble bush is like this prickly bush that berries grow on. So you're not going to go to a berry bush and get grapes, and you're not going to go to a thorn bush and get figs. You got to go to the right source to get the right thing. However, if something is bearing figs, then you know it's a fig tree. If something is bearing berries, you know it's a bramble bush. And so he's saying you're going to identify that person, what they're about, according to the type of fruit that they bear. You cannot claim that the fruit is good and the tree is bad, and you cannot claim that the tree is good and the fruit is bad. If the tree is good, the fruit is good. If the tree is bad, the fruit is bad. But you don't have this mixing, so you can confidently identify what things are about by the type of fruit it produces. In 1 John 4:2, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that's not exactly what it means on the surface. In other words, what it sounds like on the surface is not really what it means. It's not simply saying, yeah, Jesus Christ came in the flesh, I'm of the Spirit of God. Let me give you an example. Years ago, there was a church. I don't know why they did this. I'm not going to name them. But they would go to soldiers' funerals. And they would protest. And they would claim that these soldiers went to hell. Now, often these people were Christians that they were protesting, claiming that God hates them, that he went to hell. And that was because of whoever was in charge of that church. They had a personal bias. And they decided that their personal opinion was the opinion of God. Doesn't work that way. That was outrageous. A lot of unbelievers were hurt by that as far as their capacity for Christ. They saw that as a very negative thing, and it was indeed a very negative thing, but because they didn't know any better, they thought that was representing Christianity because it was a church, and it definitely was not representing Christianity. A lot of Christians were very angry about it also, not only because it was dead wrong what they were doing, but because also it was misrepresenting Christ. That was not the right thing. That spirit did not confess that Jesus came in the flesh. Why? A spirit that confesses that Jesus came in the flesh is not about the confession. It's a spirit of promoting something. For example, if you are a born-again believer, because Jesus came in the flesh, you have become one person with Christ Himself in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. The Bible calls it the one new man. From you and Christ, God created one being. And that's the one new man. That's why in 1 Corinthians 12:27, you're the body of Christ. If a person comes and they do things that promote your place as the body of Christ as a believer, they edify you in it, they build you in it, they show you how to operate in it, that kind of thing, then that's a spirit that is confessing that Jesus came in the flesh. If somebody's building you up in the love of God, Romans 5:8 says that we become one with the love of God. It says that God commends His love toward us. That word commends means that God took two things, made them into one in the original language. If this person is building you in the love of God, is building you in faith, which energizes the love of God, this person is building you in who you are in Christ, then that is a spirit that is confessing that Jesus came in the flesh, because these are the results of Jesus coming in the flesh. A spirit of forgiveness does the same thing. Spirit of reconciliation does the same thing. A spirit of mercy does the same thing. These are all of God. So when you see this, when this is what's going on, then you can be confident that that's a spirit from God. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through a person. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells believers. You have Him. Every believer on earth, that is to say, every born-again believer on earth has the Holy Spirit. A person who claims to be a believer may be a born-again believer, in which case they're a believer in the way that we think of it. But some people call themselves believers, and they're believers in, let's say, false religions or cults or what have you. They're not actual believers. They're not born again. They believe in something, but they don't believe in Christ. So they're not actual believers the way we use the word. Now, if a person is a born again believer, the Holy Spirit lives in them. The moment they got saved, He entered. Nobody has to be perfect in order for the Holy Spirit to dwell in them. When somebody gets saved, they're not perfect. No one comes to Christ in a state of perfection. By the way, no Christian is perfect either. So perfection isn't required. Sometimes people think they have to get perfection before they can come to God. No, you come to God and then He starts working with you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He will never leave you. He'll never deny you. He'll never walk away from you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never say, I don't know them. You know how some people, you know, somebody gets a little embarrassed. Parents do this to kids all the time. It's really great fun. They love to embarrass their kids because it's fun. And some parents are really, really good at it. And so the kid is just totally mortified in front of their young friends. And they're like, I don't know them. That's not my parent. That's not my mom or my dad. I don't know them. And the parent is just laughing their heart out. They're having so much fun with it. You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you? Those are great parents. Why? Because they don't let you take yourself too seriously. One of the worst things you can learn is to take yourself too seriously. But you know, the Holy Spirit will never do that. The Holy Spirit will never look at you the way a teenager looks at their parents. Even if you do something that's totally off the wall, even if you do something that's totally messed up, the Holy Spirit will never say to the angels, I don't really know them. I'm not with them. No, the Holy Spirit will never deny you. He lives in you, He loves you, He accepts you right as you are. And He doesn't really mess with you, not in that way. He does have a sense of humor. But He doesn't mess with you in a way that would throw you off. He's got a certain way of doing things. And when that is revealed, because in John 16:13, He does come into you and He guides you in all truth. Guiding you in all truth is talking about every application of the Word of God in John 17, 17. So He guides you in the Word of God and He shows you how to use it in your life as a practical thing. Now, when the Holy Spirit does something, it has a certain quality to it. It has a certain result. And that's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what you're looking for when you're testing the spirits. Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit present? Galatians 5:22 tells us what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. And it starts with love. Remember, love is not an emotion. Affection is an emotion. But it starts with love. Love is long-suffering in its patience. In other words, it'll endure for a long time patiently. And then it's also kind. And then it has qualities like it doesn't seek its own way. It's not puffed up. It's not trying to get its own attention. It's not going to think evil things. Things like that. But those all stem from love. So the first thing that you're going to recognize when there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. But love leads to joy. If there's great joy, real joy, not silly, dumb, funny, humor kind of stuff, not saying that that's necessarily wrong, some of it is, some of it isn't. But real joy, a depth of heart joy, a condition of the heart that's not dependent on circumstances, that's joy. Well, that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then there's peace. This tranquility that a person has, and that tranquility can be communicated. Well, that's fruit of the Holy Spirit. And then there's endurance. Somebody knows how to patiently endure. That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. And kindness. That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. You show me somebody who knows how to be kind, truly kind. Sometimes people use kindness as though it was money. They try to buy things with kindness, and if they don't get what they want, the kindness ends. That's not real kindness. That's manipulation. But genuine kindness, that's fruit of the Holy Spirit. Kindness that's not dependent on what the person's like or the circumstances that are happening. That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. Goodness, by goodness, I mean things like graciousness. Some people are just tremendously gracious. You can say the dumbest thing in the world. You can do the most embarrassing thing in the world. You can even be rude and they will be gracious to you. They will be gentle with you. They will be kind. They won't humiliate you. They'll just be really sweet to you. That's goodness. And then there's faithfulness. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Show me somebody who knows how to be faithful. And I'll show you somebody who's got the fruit of the Spirit in their life. You can't get that person to budge from truth. You cannot get that person to budge from the people of God. You cannot get that person to think negatively about people or speak negatively about people. You can't do it because they're faithful. Gentleness is another fruit of the Holy Spirit. There's some people who know how to be so gentle, you just find them as a resting place. That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. And self-control is a biggie. That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. A person who knows how to control themselves even though they might be upset. A person who can override their emotions and keep them in check. It's not saying that they're not upset. It's not saying that they're not hurt or angry or whatever other kind of emotion you want to come up with. It's they know how to keep it in check. They know how to not let it control them. They know how to put the emotion in its proper place and not let the emotion govern them. That's self-control. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is what you want to look for. I can't judge a church or a person, but every church and every person will reveal fruit. If they're revealing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then it's from the Holy Spirit. Then that's the right spirit. If they're revealing something other than the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then that's the wrong spirit. You test the spirits by examining what kind of fruit is coming forward. Is there gentleness? Is there love? Is there endurance and patience? Is there kindness? Is there faithfulness? Are these things that are present, or are other things present? When the fruit of the Holy Spirit is present, then that tells you that the spirit involved is the Spirit of God. You guys understand that? Okay, that's it for today. If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.